One of the beauties of doing live radio is you have to stay on top of breaking news. You have to stay on top of it in real time. And we are very much in that mode today. We will be as well on Writer's Block. Kevin Barker's alongside me. It is Baseball Central. A quick update on where we stand right now. It appears as if we are on the verge of the sports world going dark for a night. We know that NHL players are meeting right now to discuss whether or not they will play their scheduled games tonight. Jeff Passan has reported that the Boston Red Sox and Toronto Blue Jays players have met. I don't know if that's in person or over through telephone or whatever. There seems to be a chance that that game will not be played tonight. Again, we don't know. You know, this is, Kevin, we'll bring this in right now. This is, you know, I think a lot of people's anger has been misplaced here. And people need to realize this. What we saw yesterday was a player's strike in the NBA. It wasn't a league-organized strike. What we saw in Major League Baseball was, or were players on six teams go on strike and decide not to play. What we saw in the NHL were players not go on strike and decide to play. This isn't a league-mandated thing. The league isn't going to call up its players and say, do us a favor and vote to strike. It's something that is going to have to come from the players. So I want to ask you this as a guy, and you, look, you've been in a lot of clubhouses. Yep. And this is a different situation, so I know we can't necessarily get inside the head of every Blue Jays or Red Sox player there. But typically when there is a meeting about something, you know, beyond guys, let's go out and win tonight because it's really important. How does that develop? Like, is it a veteran player that calls a meeting? Does the manager sort of say, guys, if you want to talk about this, we're going to create an environment for you to talk about it? Look, you played for some strong managers.
Yeah.
God, maybe two of the strongest in Bruce Bochy and
Dusty Baker.
And Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what it might be like in there right now. And then we'll deal about the Taiwan Walker, with the Taiwan Walker trade the Blue Jays made. But tell me what it must be like right now for players to be going through this.
I'm assuming that Charlie will, you know, he'd be the one that raises his hand and say, we need a meeting. Let's get together and have this conversation. You know, what do you guys want to do? Every individual will have a voice. It won't be, you know, seniority or the oldest guy or, you know, the veteran of the team. It won't be any of that. It'll be every individual that wants to speak out and say what's on their mind and what they would like to do to support this cause. That's what'll be done, right? This is a unity kind of thing. It's not an individual thing. Everybody's trying to come together. Athletes have a big voice. There needs to be change, and this is why they're going through these things. So it's I don't know how loud of a conversation it will be, but it will be a strong conversation. It will be a unified conversation. They will leave the room together deciding on what they want to do one way or the other.
Let's bring in a member of the Toronto Blue Jays and see if he can give us an update on where things stand. And also talk about, I mean, this is a big day for the Blue Jays. They've added some length to their rotation with Taiwan Walker, who was acquired from the Seattle Mariners for cash and or a player to be named later. And there's kind of an interesting story about Taiwan Walker that I'll tell later on, and how he came close to being a Blue Jay during the year he was drafted. But we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that later. Want to bring in Anthony Kay of the Toronto Blue Jays. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. I'm wondering if you can just look, there's a report out there from ESPN's Jeff Passan that the Red Sox players have spoken to some Blue Jays players that there is a chance the game may not be played tonight as a result of a way of showing support for the labor action that NBA players took yesterday. Can you give us an update on that, on where things stand?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for having me. So I haven't gotten to the field yet. We had a later report date today, so I'm not really sure, you know, what's going to happen for later on today. But, you know, when I report to the field, I'm sure we'll have some sort of team meeting and kind of come together and, you know, make a decision together.
Was there talk about it yesterday when you, you know, I either before you guys got on the field, understanding, you know, while I was watching you guys, there were guys taking batting practice when this news came down, understanding you guys had a 6:30 game. Was there talk about it during, before, after the game? Let's kind of wait and see what we can do tomorrow.
We didn't think about it yesterday just because, you know, I feel like everything happened like right before the game.
Correct.
So, you know, it wasn't really, you know, on our minds or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think there was definitely people talking about it after the game. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we're going to have to talk about a little bit more today and, you know, make a decision as a team.
Go ahead, Bark.
Well, it'll be a big conversation, and I'm sure Major League Baseball will come together and do the right thing. But, Anthony, I want to ask you about you being a starter in the past, and now you've adjusted to the bullpen. What has been the biggest adjustment for you doing that role?
Yes, I did it a little bit in college, you know, my freshman year, and, you know, it's definitely – it's kind of nice, you know, going out there, being able to, you know, let it rip for a couple innings, knowing that, you know, you don't really have to set up hitters or anything like that. You can just go straight at them with your best stuff. And, you know, it's definitely a little bit of adjustment, you know, with the routine and everything before the game and, you know, mentally prepping differently because, you know, you got to be ready almost every night. So especially a little bit different in the mental side of things, but, you know, physically, it's pretty much the same thing. You just go out there and, you know, pitch the best you can.
Yeah. Has there been one pitch that's been a challenge to keep consistent?
I think it's mainly the secondary stuff just because, you know, I'm not – you know, as a starter, you get those in-between game bullpens and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
You know, as a bullpen guy, you know, you can't really, you know – work on a lot of stuff just because, you know, you might have to be in the game later that night. So there's not really much you can do.
Anthony, you know, one of the things that really the Jays figured out about you really early in the process, and Pete Walker talked about it, is, man, this guy is not afraid to come inside. He's not afraid to elevate. I mean, he's not afraid to do a lot of stuff you have to do to be successful in baseball this year. Now, you know, I'm old enough, I can remember everybody said, pound the zone, down and away, down and away, down and away. That was kind of the mantra, right? Everybody was looking to do that. Now it seems as if it's changed. Is this just something you've always, like, philosophically or mentally, you've just never had an issue with? Because, as I said, Pete said very early, this is a guy who absolutely believes in that, in elevating and pounding inside.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, even if, you know, you don't want to go in there consistently, I feel like you still have to go in there a little bit just so you can show that, you know, you have that pitch and, you know, you can't have guys leaning over the plate. So, you know, it definitely keeps guys honest, you know, up at the dish and, you know, especially going up, a lot of guys are chasing at that now with all, you know, the launch angle and stuff like that. So it's definitely nice to, you know, have that pitch in my arsenal to be able to, you know, get guys out with that.
Yeah, now you and Ryan Borucki are in the same bullpen, and obviously you both are left-handed, and you both like to throw fastballs into righties. Now, Ryan may have a little bit bigger issue of doing it to a lefty, but the similar thing with you two is the changeup. Have you had conversations with Ryan about how he grips his changeup, when he wants to throw his changeup, how much he wants to throw it? Has there been any conversation with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have a lot of free time in the bullpen, you know, just talking and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, I'm pretty much, you know, trying to pick everyone's brain regardless of, you know, lefty or righty, like just messing around with pitches, just so, you know, I mean, even if, you know, you can just find one little thing that works for you that makes you better, it definitely helps, you know, because we just have so many guys in this team that, you know, are nasty out there. So it's definitely nice to be able to, you know, pick everyone's brain.
You know, Anthony, this team has – when you look at where you guys are and where you were, you know, when you were playing the Tampa Bay Rays in Buffalo and had all those heartbreaking losses, and where you are now in the standings and the way you guys are playing and the games you have coming up, the acquisition of a guy like Taijuan Walker today, does that send a message through the clubhouse? And what I mean by that is, you know, Shai Davidi wrote the other day, look, these guys have shown – that they're a good group to gamble on. You know, if you want to go for it, there's enough here. They got the right stuff. You know, put the pedal to the metal and try to see how far you can go in the playoffs. Do you think this sends a message to the clubhouse getting a guy like Walker?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice. You know, we've had a couple injuries, obviously. So it's nice to, you know, kind of, you know, get some reinforcements and stuff like that. And, you know, it definitely sends a message that, you know, the front office believes in us and all that. So it's definitely going to be a fun September and, you know, probably hopefully play in the postseason and then, you know, see if we can do some damage over there.
Okay, Anthony, tell me the truth. Who's been the toughest hitter you faced in the big leagues?
Oh man, I don't like giving anyone credit. So let me think.
I could ask you who the easiest one was.
Yeah, you can do that too.
I know we struggled a little bit facing Lau from the Rays a little bit, but
yeah.
You know, I think we did a good job with him the last time around that last series. So, you know, him, you know, Meadows. I faced the Rays so many times this year that, you know, those are the guys that come to mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really hard to say. I really haven't faced, you know, that many people yet, but I mean, Lau is definitely a tough out and, you know, Meadows and, you know, those guys are pretty good.
Anthony, listen, we appreciate you doing this today. Thanks so much. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll be chatting again.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. That's Anthony Kay and Kevin. We talked a lot about Anthony Kay. Our friend Pete Walker glommed onto him really early last year when he saw him after the Jays made that trade. And it is interesting that there is a lot of activity in social media I've noticed in the past week or so. People going back and looking at some of Ross Atkins' trades and going, you know,
yeah.
some of them, you know, look pretty decent. Santiago Espinal looks like a guy who can help this team playing well.
Julian Merriweather.
Teoscar Hernandez, you know. You're right, Julian Merriweather. Giving Randall Grichuk a long-term contract, and we can talk about that. But, Kevin, Randall Grichuk. He might hit 300 this year, and I like.
How about that?
I want to slap myself in the face just for saying that, but it's true.
Yeah,
so I think maybe people are looking back at some of Ross's deals now, and the Stroman deal looks like a steal right now. Stroman ain't pitching; he won't be back with the Mets next year, and they got Anthony Kay and a guy everybody loves in Semien Woods-Richardson. It looks like a steal right now.
Now the pitching side of it, you know, the roles that the Kays and the Merriweathers have been put in, where you don't overexpose them and they don't have to use their third and fourth pitch all the time, that's helped a lot, right? Even Anthony just said it, where he can come in and let it eat for six or seven batters. That's a big deal. You know, you're not overexposing it. That hitter and the hitter behind him and that hitter behind him's not seeing the secondary pitches as much. And Anthony Kay, like he said, can pitch in to both hitters, which is a huge deal. Merriweather, I got to be honest with you, Jeff. I never expected to see 99 easy cheese out the hand, right? It's just nice and easy, and his windup comes out of the hand hot. He's got that changeup's about 18 miles an hour difference. If he can ever figure out how to spin it and not overuse the spin – man, you're looking at something that can be devastating in the middle of a rotation if you ever want to do that. Right now, he's thriving in what he's doing. Teoscar Hernandez looks like a middle-of-the-order bat who could play center field for you for the next 7, 8, 9 years. And Randall Grichuk has made a little mind adjustment. You know, the mechanical thing, throw it out the window. He's had enough at-bats. You know, when you get 2,500 at-bats at the big leagues, the mechanical thing, throw it out the window. Now it's where you want to hit the balls and what you want to swing at. And you can't argue with what Randall's doing. Often and early, you know, you can never go wrong by hitting the fastball the other way and pulling the off-speed pitches. You can never go wrong with that. And he's taken that in stride with it. He's taken the leadership role on the team. You know, he's the highest paid guy. Besides Ryu, but he's the everyday highest paid guy. And there's a lot comes with that leadership wise, hitting the middle of the order, those kind of things. And he's a talker. He's going to say what's on his mind on social media and in front of us when we're talking to him. He's been a big surprise for me. I never expected to see this because of his struggles early in the season up until this point. But he's one of their guys now. He'd be hard to get rid of. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and we're going to be talking about players that may be on the move as we get close to the deadline. The Blue Jays, as we mentioned, made a move today, bringing in Taiwan Walker from the Seattle Mariners for cash considerations or a player to be named later. He will now go through the intake procedure with the Blue Jays, which is a COVID intake procedure. An interesting story about Taiwan Walker, and we'll be joined by Corey Brock of The Athletic, covers the Mariners for The Athletic a little later. But Kevin, I had a chat with Aaron Sanchez a couple of years ago, and I just want to call up Baseball Reference here to make sure I have the numbers right. But the year that Aaron was drafted, I believe it was 2010. Bear with me here. And I'll tell you the story. The year Aaron was drafted was, here we go. It was 2010. And he was drafted out of California High School by the Blue Jays. And he was taken, where is the draft? God, I hate websites. I really do hate web. Here we go. All right. Aaron Sanchez was taken by the Blue Jays during that draft, the 34th pick overall. He was, as I mentioned, a high school pitcher in California. Taiwan Walker was also a high school pitcher in California in that draft, and he went earlier than Aaron Sanchez did in the draft. And there was also another pitcher in that draft and I'm trying to figure out who it is, another California pitcher in the draft that went ahead of them. But it was interesting because I remember talking to Aaron about that whole draft process. And of course, the story was at that time that one of Aaron's friends was the daughter of a guy who coached with the Los Angeles Angels.
Yep.
And Aaron was under the strong impression, the scuttlebutt was that the Angels were going to end up taking him in that draft. The Angels ended up taking Cam Bedrosian 5 picks before him in that draft. Here we go. 5 picks before him in that draft. Taiwan Walker went 6 picks after Aaron in the draft after the Blue Jays had taken Asher Wojciechowski. And there was a lot of talk at that time that Taiwan was going to be chosen by the Blue Jays. And Aaron said everybody was texting everybody during the draft day because he knew these three guys, right? He knew Bedrosian, he knew Taiwan Walker. They'd all come up together. They'd faced each other together. It was kind of a cool story and they kept in contact with each other as guys do, right? Throughout the majors, just to see how each guy was doing and everything. It was funny because I remember Aaron saying to me, all three of us thought that we were going to end up in the Angels, and then all the two of us, him and Walker, thought we might end up in the Blue Jays after that. And it's funny how it went. It worked out that he went to the Blue Jays, and then Taiwan Walker ended up being drafted by the Mariners. Look, he's a guy at one point was a velocity king. A lot of people, a lot of people thought this guy was going to be, well, they thought he was going to be what we thought Aaron Sanchez was going to be honest. But it's a good addition for this team, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not bad. He's a high character guy. He's a great teammate. That's the things you hear about him. He's had some injuries. He's made some mechanical adjustments. He's a little bit more compact. He stays over the rubber a little bit more, which will keep him more intact and keep him on the field longer, make a start every 5 days. That's the whole thing. His breaking ball this year, the word is much better to complement the fastball. You know, the fastball be anywhere from 94 to 96, but he can sprinkle in the 12-6. He's got a sharper one. He can throw for strike three. The feed off is the changeup, you know, the arm speed on the changeup. It's got a little sink to it. He maybe doesn't move the needle when it comes to when they do get to the playoffs. If they do get there, right, they're going to need that extra guy still for me, whoever that is. You know, Taiwan Walker didn't cost them anything. They gave up a player to be named later that wasn't in the 60 pool team. So he's exactly what I think they wanted. It keeps K from starting, and it keeps Hatch from starting. Mm-hmm. They have gotten into a routine out of the bullpen. They've had success doing that. If you can add a legitimate starter who's had success doing it, it's only going to help your team.
Well, yeah, and you've also bought yourself some insurance in the event that, Shoemaker and yeah. Pearson –
And don't forget, you just mentioned it, Nate Pearson, the word is he's coming back soon. Bo Bichette will be back soon. Yeah. Maybe Matt Shoemaker will be back soon. Ken Giles, who we rarely talk about, you know, we see him throwing bullpens. Yeah. He was letting it eat. Yep. He comes back, all of a sudden their team's much better than it was a week ago.
Yeah, they've got a lot of options, to be sure. Corey Brock covers the Mariners for The Athletic. We'll get his take on the Taiwan Walker trade. And questions, comments, concerns for Kevin Barker, 590-590 is the text line. It is always open. We will peruse it. Name and location, si vous plaît. Gives you an added sense of legitimacy.
Look at you.
Dropping a little Francais on the folks.
Somebody tweet us or text us and tell us why Rowdy Tellez is not playing against right-handed pitching every day. Tell us why that is.
You can do that. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I guess bigger picture and on a different note, do you anticipate playing today?
Yeah, so we, you know, I can say this, like we've had conversations with our players, you know, about playing yesterday and guys were comfortable, you know, having thought through what was going on in the community. Guys were comfortable playing yesterday. We did not have time to have another discussion with them after the NBA made the decision that they made. And, you know, after a couple of MLB teams made or several MLB teams made their decisions, which we absolutely support and respect and understand, we will do that again today. So we will have another discussion with our players. We will, obviously talk to the other team. We'll obviously look for guidance from Major League Baseball and want their input. But in the end, we'll absolutely support what our players want. And this is, you know, again, like we've talked about it on, you know, with several calls ago, and we talked about it. And after the draft this year, this is it's heartbreaking. You know, I can feel it in our clubhouse. I can feel it amongst our players that we know that we have to be better as a society, and we know that more change has to occur, and our players want that. I'm proud of how our players have spoken up, have continued the dialogue. We continue the dialogue on regular roundtable discussions with a cross section of our organization that include players and organizational leaders to make sure it's not something that, you know, we're just assuming is going to improve. We have to do our part to talk about it and come up with ideas to make the circumstances and situations better.
That was General Manager Ross Atkins of the Toronto Blue Jays about, I guess, maybe a little more than an hour ago, talking to the media. The Jays and Boston Red Sox are still scheduled to play tonight, a 6:37 first pitch from Salem Field in Buffalo. We know from talking to Anthony Kay of the Blue Jays that the Jays players will be meeting, I would imagine probably within minutes, in the clubhouse. We know that, according to Jeff Passan of ESPN, that there has been discussion between Red Sox players and Blue Jays players in some form about supporting each other when it comes to making a decision today. But, you know, the sense, put it this way, the sense we're getting is that there are a lot of people in Buffalo who are prepared for the Blue Jays not to play tonight. That would probably be the best way to, but I'm not saying that's the way it's going to go, but I am saying that there is there's a sense that there may be a few more baseball games canceled today. And again, this is not Major League Baseball ordering this or not ordering it. This is players making decisions on their own and leagues supporting the decisions of the players. And as you heard from Ross Atkins, individual teams supporting the decisions of the players, not that they really have any choice. If you don't, and the players don't play, then you've got a full-blown crisis. Corey Brock covers the Seattle Mariners for The Athletic, and he joins us on Baseball Central. Corey, thanks for joining us. Apologies for the delay there. I want to talk about Taiwan Walker, obviously. The Jays acquiring him today for cash considerations or a player to be named. But the Mariners were one of the teams that decided not to play last night. Can you kind of walk us through how they came about making that decision?
I think the timeline kind of matched up a little bit, whereas as they're preparing to play a game in San Diego, the discussion and the decision for the Milwaukee Bucks had already taken place, and the same occurred for the Milwaukee Brewers in their game against the Reds, deciding not to play. So I think it led to a discussion a couple hours before game time with the players and the entire team, really, and the coaching staff. And they made the decision not to move forward with the game last night. And, you know, this sort of jives a little bit with sort of how we've seen the Mariners kind of proceed through all of this. Now, remember, they have the most black players on their 40-man roster, 11, and they currently, well, they had as of yesterday with Taiwan Walker, had 8 on their active roster. And they've talked a lot about social injustice and racism throughout the course of the summer, have been very proactive in terms of really pushing that discussion. And I'll give their longtime broadcaster, Dave Sims, who's only one of two African-American mm-hmm. play-by-play guys in baseball, for creating and sparking and continuing that discussion. So they made the decision not to play last night. They're playing a doubleheader today. Actually, they're starting the first game in about 40 minutes. But I know manager Scott Service, and I think the entire organization expressed a lot of gratitude and just how proud they are of the players for how they've handled themselves throughout all this.
Well, you mentioned, Jeff, mentioned Taiwan Walker. You know, Ross Atkins has tried to do a really good job here lately of getting high-character guys. Can you touch on what kind of person he is, what kind of teammate he is, on and off the field?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. You know, let me backtrack a little bit and say Taiwan Walker, this was a homecoming for him in Seattle. He was drafted in the first round compensation pick in 2010 out of high school, made his big league debut for the team in 2013. And, you know, flash forward, you know, they moved him to Arizona in a deal, needed Tommy John surgery. But, guys, when he came back and signed with the Mariners a one-year deal in February, we were already in spring training. But he stood and, you know, I asked him, what is this chapter of your life going to, how is it going to be different for you? And he was very eloquent in talking about how maybe he didn't handle himself very well, didn't work as hard as he needed to during his first stint with the Mariners. And he really, you know, you could see the maturation, not just of a pitcher, but certainly as a person. And he wanted to really pass that along and share that with many of the young players who are on this roster of an organization that's going through a rebuild right now. And from everything that we've seen and everything that we've heard, and we talked to Scott Service, the manager, today, he really stepped up and provided a lot of leadership in that clubhouse. And we're, you know, taking a lot of these young pitchers under his arm, and it's different when that voice comes from a manager or a coach. It's a lot different, and it resonates a lot more when it comes from the guy sitting next to you in the clubhouse. So he really had a voice here. He was cherished. He was loved. And they've already talked about, at least the manager is already stumping for a return in the offseason when we get to free agency and whatever that looks like in baseball, already lobbying for Taiwan Walker to come back for 2021.
Okay, what do you think of him as a pitcher? I know his ERA was somewhere around 4. I think he was 2-2. You know, those numbers could be one way or the other. But has he made adjustments? You know, I'd heard his curveball is a little bit better. What do you think about his actual stuff now?
Yeah, and I would, you know, again, this is a guy that's threw something like 14 innings in 2018 and 2019 combined because of Tommy John surgery. And typically we know those guys are a lot better the further we move along from that surgery. But I will point to two starts that he's had this year against two of the best teams in baseball without question, the Oakland A's. And his last start was against the Dodgers, where I think he gave up like 3 solo home runs early in the game. The Dodgers were just, they were sitting on his fastball. They were really keyed in on that. Well, he decided to pitch backwards. He decided to use his secondary stuff earlier in the count, change the eye level in terms of his fastball. Really a kind of a thinking man's effort in working his way through that start. And he ended up allowing 3 runs over 7 with 8 strikeouts against, again, I would say probably one of the best lineups in all of baseball. So, you know, he knows what he's doing out there, and I don't know if he's going to get 5 or 6 starts for the Jays, but I have to think that he is certainly going to help them much more than he hurts them.
Corey, listen, it was really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, Corey.
Take care. Yep. Corey Brock of The Athletic. Barker, you're going to have to push the mute button on your FaceTime. I'm sorry. I've got no other way to do it.
It is on mute.
There. So there you go. Clearly, I mean, look, if folks like you enough to invite you back a second time, that's a good thing.
Yeah, he sounds like a good guy. He's got good stuff. I think he's learning how to pitch.
Yeah.
When you learn how to use secondary pitches a little bit better and you can elevate the fastball and he can pitch in. I did notice when you watched some video of him that I'd watched the last couple of days that his breaking ball he has 2 different ones. He has one get me over, and then he has that sharper one, but it's 12-6. That means that looks just like his fastball until that last 5 feet, and then it drops off the table. That's been a big pitch for him. He's a very quick worker. You know, he's a big guy on the mound, so he's a little intimidating, and he is a quick worker. That means defenses will be on their toes, and hopefully he can give the Blue Jays 5 or 6 innings a start. That's all they need. With the bullpen they have now, they just need 5 or 6 out of him.
Yeah, let me do some research. Pardon me, and we'll go to the text line. 590-590 is the text line for Barker. Did some research in that 2010 draft.
Who?
Let me read some of the names. Bryce Harper, this is in order. Bryce Harper, Jameson Taillon, Manny Machado. That's not bad, 1, 2, 3.
Not bad.
Matt Harvey, Delino DeShields, Yasmani Grandel, Chris Sale, Christian Yelich. We already covered the pitchers. And drafted after Aaron Sanchez was Noah Syndergaard, Emenson Dasher, Wojciechowski. Taiwan Walker, Nick Castellanos was drafted right after Walker. So that's in the top 50. That's like a Major League Baseball all-star team.
Yeah.
Right there. Like Harper and Machado, I'd start with them.
Yeah, not bad.
Wow.
Boy, wow. Bryce Harper's changed his game. He's a team guy. We've seen him bunting. You know, I mean, that's good for opposing teams that he's bunting and not swinging the bat. He's trying to change his thing and be a team guy. Machado, you know, with the one of the best shortstops in all of baseball, that's not a bad shortstop and third baseman for the next 10 years. Yeah. San Diego's in pretty good shape. Jacob DeGrom, best right-handed pitcher in baseball, maybe best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. And
so that's not a bad draft. You're right.
And if you're Blue Jays fans, if you're interested, it was the year the Jays drafted Deck McGuire with their first pick. 11th overall, 1 ahead of Yasmani Grandel, 2 ahead of Chris Sale, 6 ahead of Christian Yelich. Yeah, I'll just stop there.
Well, every once in a while you swing and miss.
Every once in a while you swing and miss.
Sometimes you swing and miss in a corkscrew,
swing and a miss. So there you go.
Makes me feel old when I got drafted in 1996.
Yeah. Well, there's
man, it makes me feel old.
Well, it shouldn't make you feel old. How the hell do you think I feel? It makes you feel old.
Yeah.
1996.
Good point.
1996, I was 36 years old. 590-590 is the text line. You got lots of comments, lots of questions for Kevin Barker. We'll get to them. Don't go anywhere. It's Baseball Central. All right. The first Major League Baseball game of the day will be at 3:10 Eastern. And the Mariners and Padres, who... postponed their game last night. The players went in strike, essentially. We are still waiting for developments out of Buffalo, where the Jays and Red Sox are probably, as we speak, meeting to come to some sort of a decision as to whether or not they will play their game tonight. The NBA's already postponed its games today. The players saying they're not going to play. And NHL players, we're led to believe, are currently meeting. And Elliot Friedman, amongst others, has reported that those players have been told that they should prepare for the possibility of not playing tonight. So we'll stay on top of that. Stephen Brunt joins me in Writer's Block. Later on today, we'll be joined by Evander Kane, the Hockey Diversity Alliance, which the HDA taking to Twitter earlier today and asking the NHL to suspend its games today as a sign of solidarity with striking NBA players and WNBA players, MLS players, striking athletes in general, striking professional athletes who are protesting the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Barker, we got text for you at 595.90. Got to do some business, though. First of all, reminding folks that you could score a 70-inch LG UHD TV from Brentview Electronics. You can create the best seat in the house right at home with this Bluetooth-capable flat screen. It's got 4K active HDR, ultra surround sound, and so much more. To enter, collect the secret seats at 755, 1255, and 455. Then listen to Tim and Sid. To qualify, you can find details at sportsnet.ca/590. All right, to the text line, and it is a busy text line for a Thursday. John of Muskoka, does it make sense, Kevin Barker, to continue using Romano as the closer and run Giles as the eighth inning guy, or will Charlie Montoyo flip them around again with Ken Giles when Ken Giles comes back? I mean, there is the old unwritten rule, right, that you don't lose your job because of injury.
Yeah.
Especially if you're someone with a track record like Ken Giles. I think that may be moot in some ways, don't you think, in that when Ken Giles is ready to go, I don't think there's anything wrong with running him out there right away in a closer situation. And if that doesn't work, then going back to Romano. You would stick with Romano.
Yep, you figure. We'll guess. They got probably 25 games when he comes back. We'll get somewhere in that range.
Okay, right? Fair enough.
25 games. You're going to have to win, you know, 15 more out of the next 31 games. They're going to have to win games. Every one of those games matters. Putting him against the Yankees in the ninth inning with a run lead when he hasn't pitched in forever, when Romano's done it, you know, has rhythm, has confidence in doing all these things. You have confidence in Romano. I'm not saying that you eliminate Giles, but I'm saying why not use him in the seventh and eighth inning or the sixth inning to get his feet wet, get him back into rhythm, get him back with that confidence. And then when all of those things are clicking, then you can go back to that, and then you got multiple options. Then you can go Giles one day as a closer. The next day you could go Romano. The next day you could go Bass. You could do any of these things you want because all of these guys are all pitching well at the same time. Don't put an inning on them. Just pitch when you think they can do the best job for your team at that moment. And then when he gets healthy and back into rhythm, then you can put him wherever you want to put him.
Adam from St. John, New Brunswick. I like this question, because it touches on a couple of issues facing the Blue Jays as we get close to the trade deadline, which is next Monday, by the way. And we'll have Blue Jays baseball that day, and I'll actually be doing Blue Jays Central. So I'll be on.
Yeah,
I'll be on TV.
You can do it.
I'll be on TV doing during the trade deadline. So adjust your sets accordingly. What was the question that I liked so much that
Adam,
I can't find?
I think it was Adam.
I'm getting old. What is more important moving forward for the Jays playoff run, Kevin Barker? Another utility guy or an experienced catcher? I'm coming around to the experienced catcher thing. You know, I'm the guy, I've been giving Danny Jansen the benefit of the doubt, and I'm still, I don't want him to go anywhere. But I'm wondering if maybe a more experienced catcher might not smooth things a little bit, might create. Look, I really believe that part of a good defensive infield, a lot of it starts with the catcher. I just think it does. I've seen too many. I've seen very few good defensive teams that have a crap defensive catcher. Maybe the Yankees, Jorge Posada wasn't the greatest defensive catcher. Maybe he would qualify. But beyond that, generally, you associate a strong defensive catcher with a strong infield. Yeah, and I know there are people out there who want a Jonathan Scope type or something like that, and I certainly wouldn't be averse to it. But I'm kind of coming around to the idea of having a veteran catcher there.
The utility guy for me is the last thing I would want if I were the GM. I'd want a better starting pitcher. That's first and foremost. And the catcher, a good veteran catcher down the stretch when playoff games and every pitch matters, can get an okay pitcher through a tough spot. He can put down the right finger. He can forcefully put the finger down, which is not what you see Danny Jansen doing. Like Chase Anderson the other day comes out for the sixth inning against Mitch Moreland and throws him three changeups in a row to walk him up 6-3. Why would you do that? A good catcher would not allow him to do that, even if he shook to it. You go, uh-uh. Look, turn around and look at the scoreboard. It's 6-3. That's the kind of thing that maybe if Ross has one fall in his lap, like that one they're playing now that's for the Red Sox, that can hit and control running games and can catch and receive and block the way he can, I'm for that. But it would start with a starting pitcher because everybody needs those. They can dominate good lineups. And then if I had a catcher that fell in my lap, I'm going to take it real quick. Great question.
Are you concerned about the Jays' issues with the running game? Is it something that, you know, base stealing is not what it used to be. It's not as important as it used to be. But does that concern you at all?
Jeff, they're like 2-for-17 and throwing runners out.
Yeah.
You know, some of those are
on
because
the pitcher.
Well, some of them.
Right.
And some of them are rush throws, not good mechanically behind the plate, not getting to your slot where you can release the baseball, making bad throws, right? If you have good throws that are on the bag consistently, you're going to throw out more than 2-for-17. So the answer to your question, when it does matter, you know, running's not as big a deal as it used to be. The saying is, well, just don't let them on first. Well, you're going to do that, especially late in a game. Late in the game, to have that catcher and that other opposing team knowing that there's no running, there's no stealing second, we've eliminated that, and now it makes it easier for the pitcher to throw strikes. It's easier for the defense to not have to worry about that guy running and fielding their position and leaving their position too early. All of these things come into play. So it is a little and it ain't a little. That make any sense?
Yes. Yes, there it does. It does indeed. Interesting observation here from Andrew in Ottawa.
Hi, Andrew.
Talking about Espinal. You know, and wondering if maybe all this talk about a utility infielder and all that, he wants to see Espinal get more playing time. How do you feel about that? Because I know initially you were kind of iffy on him as a hitter. And
I still am.
Okay.
He doesn't have a two-strike approach, and can he hit a breaking ball? This is the thing. When I played early in my career, they find out if you can hit a fastball first. Well, he's starting to do that. His swing is quick enough. It's level enough that he can miss some games, come in, and be successful if he gets a fastball strike. But the more he plays and the more they start to go, well, you can't throw him the 0-0 fastball anymore because he's going to hit that line drive up the middle. So let's start spinning it to him. Can he either lay off it? Or can he occasionally hit one of those hard to right center? That's the thing. But defensively, he can do all of those things. He can field it. He can throw it. He can play second. He can play third. He can play short. He can do all of those things. He's got quick feet. He's got a strong arm. I want the ball hit to him when it matters, late in the game. You've already said this. That's not the issue. But playing every day, that's a little bit of a different animal. I would personally rather have Bo Bichette, but I won't argue with Espinal.
By the way, ESPN is reporting that the NHL games will not be played today. That the NHL is calling off Thursday's playoff games. That from ESPN. And of course, we'll await further confirmation on that. We will be joined by Evander Kane on Writer's Block. He is the part of the Hockey Diversity Alliance. They had formally requested the NHL suspend all playoff games today. And Evander Kane will join Stephen Brunt and myself on Writer's Block as we continue on top of of this breaking story. Again, the first Major League Baseball game is between the Mariners and Padres. It is still scheduled for 3:10. Both of those teams sat out last night as a protest. The Dodgers have submitted their lineup for their game today. Mookie Betts not in the lineup, and the Dodgers did not play last night as a show of unity with Mookie Betts, who told his teammates that he wasn't going to play and did not ask them to sit out in support of him. But no, the Dodgers,
Clayton Kershaw said that if he's sitting, we're sitting,
which is, you know, different than what we saw in St. Louis when Jason Hayward sat out and he was joined by Jack Flaherty and another one of the Cardinals players. So again, we'll stay on top of it. It does appear as if I guess you could put an asterisk beside every game scheduled in every sport today as Major League Baseball continues to, or Major League Baseball and the NHL continues to follow the lead, in some ways at least, of NBA players yesterday. We already know that the NBA playoff games will be canceled today. And I'm just going through Twitter quickly to see if there's any other update. John Shannon is reporting that tomorrow's NHL games might be up in the air as well. So, again, this is these are professional athletes making a decision, and their leagues really in a position, Kevin Barker, of being able to do nothing but support them. And you know, it's I mean, it's that's kind of where we're at. And this is, it is important to stress to people, I think, that this is the players taking the lead here. This is not the league taking the lead. The league, I had someone explain to me, it's very hard for the league legally to shut down, because that constitutes, if someone wants to play, that can constitute a lockout. This has to come from the players. So it appears as if that is the case. And again, no word yet as to the Blue Jays Red Sox game, which is still scheduled for 6:37. But we, as I said, we do know that Red Sox players and Blue Jays players were meeting to discuss whether or not they play the game. So there you go. Man, busy day in the world of sports, busy day in the world in general, Kevin Barker, but we've got a minute left. The Jays making the first of what I think we both agree will be a couple of moves, and getting Taiwan Walker from the Seattle Mariners for cash and or a player to be named later. I think it's the first of a couple, and it may be the type of move we see from the Blue Jays, essentially kind of a rental. But a lower, I would say maybe an under the radar acquisition would be the best way to put it, as opposed to something super sexy.
Yeah, but for me, Ryu and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. got to carry this team for a while.
Yeah, we'll talk about Vladdy tomorrow, because Vladdy looks a different guy to me the last couple of games, Barker.
He found his Jimmy Johns.
Found his Jimmy Johns. I knew that was coming. Somebody's got to ask him on a Zoom call. Just say, Vladdy, where's your Jimmy Johns, and see what he's. I'd love to see how they translate that. Barker, thanks for doing this. We'll be back tomorrow. Brent's going to come in. Evander Kane's going to join us. Writer's Block is next.